Blog Talk Radio.
Christ. Chapter 1. God's Love for Man. Nature and revelation alike testify of God's love. Our Father in heaven is the source of life, of wisdom, and of joy. Look at the wonderful and beautiful things of nature. Think of their marvelous adaptation to the needs and happiness, not only of man, but of all living creatures. The sunshine and the rain that gladden and refresh the earth, the hills and seas and plains, all speak to us of the Creator's love. It is God who supplies the daily needs of all His creatures. In the beautiful words of the psalmist, "The eyes of all wait upon Thee, and Thou givest them their meat in due season. Thou openest thine hand and satisfiest the desire of every living thing." Psalm 145, verses 15 and 16. God made man perfectly holy and happy, and the fair earth, as it came from the Creator's hand, bore no blight of decay or shadow of the curse. It is transgression of God's law, the law of love, that has brought woe and death. Yet, even amid the suffering that results from sin, God's love is revealed. It is written that God cursed the ground for man's sake, Genesis 3:17, the thorn and the thistle, the difficulties and trials that make his life one of toil and care, were appointed for his good as a part of the training needful in God's plan for his uplifting from the ruin and degradation that sin has wrought. The world, though fallen, is not all sorrow and misery. In nature itself are messages of hope and comfort. There are flowers upon the thistles, and the thorns are covered with roses. God is love is written upon every opening bud, upon every spire of springing grass. The lovely birds making the air vocal with their happy songs, the delicately tinted flowers in their perfection perfuming the air, the lofty trees of the forest with their rich foliage of living green, all testify to the tender, fatherly care of our God, and to His desire to make His children happy. The Word of God reveals His character. He himself has declared his infinite love and pity. When Moses prayed, "Show me thy glory," the Lord answered, "I will make all my goodness pass before thee." Exodus chapter 33, verses 18 and 19. This is his glory. The Lord passed before Moses and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin." Exodus chapter 34, verses 6 and 7. "He is slow to anger, and of great kindness, because he delighteth in mercy." Jonah chapter 4, verse 2. Micah chapter 7, verse 18. God has bound our hearts to him by unnumbered tokens in heaven and in earth. Through the things of nature and the deepest and tenderest earthly ties that human hearts can know, he has sought to reveal himself to us. Yet these but imperfectly represent his love. Though all these evidences have been given, the enemy of good blinded the minds of men so that they looked upon God with fear. They thought of him as severe and unforgiving. Satan led men to conceive of God as a being whose chief attribute is stern justice, one who is a severe judge, a harsh, exacting creditor. He pictured the Creator as a being who is watching with jealous eye to discern the errors and mistakes of men, that he may visit judgments upon them. It was to remove this dark shadow, by revealing to the world the infinite love of God, that Jesus came to live among men. The Son of God came from heaven to make manifest the Father. No man hath seen God at any time, the only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. John chapter 1 verse 18. Neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Matthew chapter 11 verse 27. When one of the disciples made the request, "Show us the Father," Jesus answered, "Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, Show us the Father?" John chapter 14 verses 8 and 9. In describing his earthly mission, Jesus said, "The Lord hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised." Luke chapter 4 verse 18. This was his work. He went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed by Satan. There were whole villages where there was not a moan of sickness in any house, for he had passed through them and healed all their sick. His work gave evidence of his divine anointing. Love, mercy, and compassion were revealed in every act of his life. His heart went out in tender sympathy to the children of men. He took man's nature that he might reach man's wants. The poorest and humblest were not afraid to approach him. Even the little children were attracted to him. They loved to climb upon his knees and gaze into the pensive face, benignant with love. Jesus did not suppress one word of truth, but he uttered it always in love. He exercised the greatest tact and thoughtful, kind attention in his intercourse with people. He was never rude, never needlessly spoke a severe word, never gave needless pain to a sensitive soul. He did not censure human weakness. He spoke the truth, but always in love. He denounced hypocrisy, unbelief, and iniquity, but tears were in his voice as he uttered his scathing rebukes. He wept over Jerusalem, the city he loved, which refused to receive him, the way, the truth, and the life. They had rejected him, the Savior, but he regarded them with pitying tenderness. His life was one of self-denial and thoughtful care for others. Every soul was precious in his eyes. While he ever bore himself with divine dignity, he bowed with the tenderest regard to every member of the family of God. In all men he saw fallen souls whom it was his mission to save. Such is the character of Christ as revealed in his life. This is the character of God. It is from the Father's heart that the streams of divine compassion, manifest in Christ, flow out to the children of men. Jesus, the tender, pitying Savior, was God, manifest in the flesh. 1 Timothy 3:16. It was to redeem us that Jesus lived and suffered and died. He became a man of sorrows, that we might be made partakers of everlasting joy. God permitted his beloved Son, full of grace and truth, to come from a world of indescribable glory to a world marred and blighted with sin, darkened with the shadow of death and the curse. He permitted him to leave the bosom of his love, the adoration of the angels, to suffer shame, insult, humiliation, hatred, and death. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 5. Behold him in the wilderness, in Gethsemane, upon the cross. The spotless Son of God took upon himself the burden of sin. He who had been one with God felt in his soul the awful separation that sin makes between God and man. This wrung from his lips the anguished cry, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Matthew chapter 27, verse 46. It was the burden of sin, the sense of its terrible enormity, of its separation of the soul from God, it was this that broke the heart of the Son of God. But this great sacrifice was not made in order to create in the Father's heart a love for man, not to make him willing to save. No, no. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, John 3:16. The Father loves us, not because of the great propitiation, but he provided the propitiation because he loves us. Christ was the medium through which he could pour out his infinite love upon a fallen world. God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, 2 Corinthians 5:19. God suffered with his Son in the agony of Gethsemane, the death of Calvary. The heart of infinite love paid the price of our redemption. Jesus said, therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I may take it again. John chapter 10, verse 17. That is, my Father has so loved you that he even loves me more for giving my life to redeem you. In becoming your substitute and surety, by surrendering my life, by taking your liabilities, your transgressions, I am endeared to my Father, for by my sacrifice God can be just and yet the justifier of him who believeth in Jesus. None but the Son of God could accomplish our redemption, for only he who was in the bosom of the Father could declare him. Only he who knew the height and depth of the love of God could make it manifest. Nothing less than the infinite sacrifice made by Christ in behalf of fallen man could express the Father's love to lost humanity. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. He gave him not only to live among men, to bear their sins, to die their sacrifice. He gave him to the fallen race. Christ was to identify himself with the interests and needs of humanity. He who was one with God has linked himself with the children of men by ties that are never to be broken. Jesus is not ashamed to call them brethren, Hebrews 2:11. He is our sacrifice, our advocate, our brother, bearing our human form before the Father's throne, and through eternal ages one with the race. He has redeemed the Son of Man. And all this that man might be uplifted from the ruin and degradation of sin, that he might reflect the love of God and share the joy of holiness. The price paid for our redemption, the infinite sacrifice of our Heavenly Father in giving his Son to die for us, should give us exalted conceptions of what we may become through Christ. As the inspired Apostle John beheld the height, the depth, the breadth of the Father's love toward the perishing race, he was filled with adoration and reverence, and failing to find suitable language in which to express the greatness and tenderness of this love, he called upon the world to behold it. Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God, 1 John 3:1. What a value this places upon man. Through transgression, the sons of man become subjects of Satan. Through faith in the atoning sacrifice of Christ, the sons of Adam may become the sons of God. By assuming human nature, Christ elevates humanity. Fallen men are placed where, through connection with Christ, they may indeed become worthy of the name sons of God. Such love is without parallel. Children of the Heavenly King, precious promise, theme for the most profound meditation, the matchless love of God for a world that did not love Him. The thought has a subduing power upon the soul and brings the mind into captivity to the will of God. The more we study the divine character in light of the cross, the more we see mercy, tenderness, and forgiveness blended with equity and justice, and the more clearly we discern innumerable evidences of that love that is infinite and a tender pity surpassing a mother's yearning sympathy for her wayward child.
Yes.
End of chapter 1.
Amen, amen. And brothers and sisters, I can understand that because I know my love for my son. It's nothing I can do but just pray for him. And I'm thanking God for what he has did for us. Oh, sisters and brothers, when I think about my sins and when I was there in the world, not understanding what God did for me, would I would have changed anything at that time? If I would have knew better, I don't know. But I know now God's love was so merciful. I am older now, and God expects us to have better sense. The older we get, we need to know and show that life to our children. Oh, Father in heaven, we come before you on this prayer line. Heavenly Father, as we as older mothers and fathers now, Lord, we are to be that best example to our neighbors, our families, especially our children. Heavenly Father, these children are growing up today, seeing more evil in elderly and older people, Father, than they would see in their own peer. Oh, Father, forgive us for our sins. Help us, Lord, and lead us to your righteousness. So now, Lord, as we are on this prayer line, I lift up my brothers and sisters to you, Father. I'm asking you continue to show your love as you have done this morning, as you have done this evening, because, Lord, we are here to testify of your love, that we are still in the land of the living. So, Heavenly Father, I thank you right now for the blessing of this day that you allow me to see this time, a few minutes after 6. So I'm thanking you, Father, to allow me to host on the prayer line. Be with me and my brothers and sisters. Send your Holy Spirit to give us understanding. Give us knowledge, Father. You've been patient for a long time. And, Father, you said that your Holy Spirit is slowly withdrawn from this earth. Father, thank you for your patience that you have allowed me to come to this age that I am now, to get wisdom and to serve you and to praise you and come away from the world. And Father, we understand and that we are accepting your commandments and now to share it with the world. Oh, Father, thank you. Bless us and keep us tonight while we're on this prayer line. And I'm asking you to bless your word, send your Holy Spirit to convict and convert each and every one of us, Lord. And we just thank you for all that you will do. Bless my brothers and sisters tonight. Allow them to share and testify. In the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Good evening, my brothers and sisters. I am so happy to be here. I was having a headache earlier, but I first took some ginger and lemon juice, and then I took this fennel, and I mixed some lemon juice and ginger with it. now it's kind of settling a little bit. So I'm just thanking God for that, that I can host in my head, not pounding so bad. So I'm just want to just share with you just a short passage in Maranatha. Praise God. And it's coming from Habakkuk chapter 2. I'm going to read this first. It says, the vision is yet for a appointed time, but the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. And brothers and sisters, as we know the word of God, we see every day the things that Christ our day, we see things coming to pass. Every day is being fulfilled. So I'm just going to read just this part of Maranatha. It says, the faith that strengthened Habakkuk and all the holy and the just in those days of deep trials was the same faith that sustained God's people today. In the darkest hour, under the circumstances the most forbidding, the Christian believers may keep his soul safe upon the source of all light and power, day by day, through in God, his hope and courage may be renewed. In the service of God, there needs to be no dependency, no wavering, nor fear. The Lord will more than fulfill the highest expectation of those who put their trust in him. He will give them the wisdom their very necessity demands. I will stop right there. And I just want to thank God for his word. And I will begin to open the line for my brothers and sisters as we have one to press. Amen. We're going to line. God bless and welcome my brothers and sisters. I'm open the first line for 518. Thank you for being patient. I was just trying to wait till my headache passed away so I can talk a little bit. So God bless. Amen. 518-951, your line is open. Amen.
All right. Good evening, my dear beloved Sister Leola. Thank you for opening my line. I was on the line for quite a while listening to the, I think, Step to Christ, God's Love for Man. And I am telling you, you know, God really loves us. Because if Amen. He didn't love us, I know he wouldn't sacrifice his life on Calvary Cross to save us from sin. And that is the great love. You know, as we mentioned, as it mentioned, about nature, right? You know, because in everything in this world, we saw God. Everything, you know, we look at the trees, we look at the birds, we look at the fowls, we look at the earth, we look at people, you know. Everything in this world is God. And without God, there wouldn't be anything. So when I look upon that and see how he loves me and how he sacrificed and how he made provision, he made provision for me, Sister Powell, and all of us from creation, you know, he told us that, you know, he gave us the leaves, the trees, the fruit, everything for food and for healing of the nation. He tells us that he loves us so much, and that is that love that when we abide in him and we can go out to let others know that he is the foundation, he is the rock that the church should build on, Christ the solid rock that he built his church, and to let people know, you know, we have a message here, and this message that he has given unto us every day. Every minute, you don't even have to open the Word of God, the Bible, because we know that Genesis tells us all about what he has done. In the middle, we have also saw the children of Israel coming from Egypt, what he has done. We have seen the Red Sea, Lord, that, you know, by faith, Lord, and how he instructs them just to put your feet in, and they were able to go on dry ground. We have seen everything, and all what we have seen, you know, I have seen that, you know what, there is nothing in this world that is sweeter than the love of Jesus. Nothing can stop us. We may be in pain, we may be in financial problem, but we know we have a Savior, and he is able to do what he wants us to do. You know, what he desires to give us, you know, because sometimes we want, and he knows that we doesn't want it. So he said, wait a little. This is not your timing. His timing is the right timing. So I just want to give praise and honor that I have a loving God, Sister Leola, and others on this line. A God that I can say that thing there. I'm here in this island for nearly 9 months, and, you know, without family members, close family. I have family of God. I have nieces. I have nephews. I have cousins. I have community children. I have church family. But my real, real blood family, you know, my children. And I'm telling you, you know what? God is here. He is there by my side. He is protecting me. He is keeping me. He is allowing me to present him to others by the character. Sometimes it's not message, but the character and the love that he has given unto me. And all my prayer tonight is just to ask God to continue to keep me, you know, in proper health. You know, because health is something that he wants us to have proper health. He gave us all the remedies. Disobedience that caused us, you know, and the sinful world that we are living. Our body comes down with affliction and sometimes it's violation of his law. You know, ask forgiveness and just ask him, Lord, I am asking you to heal me. One of my dear sister who was a witness with, she got baptized just a few days, and I'm telling you, she come down, she has breast cancer. And my dear beloved, that cancer, that breast is, like I am telling you, huge. And they did not decide to take it off. They were trying to shrink that abscess. It burst the other day, and it's leaking out, but it doesn't draw down the big, big soul in. And let me know, she is in great, grave pain, my dear beloved. All the medicine that they give her, she is in great pain, Sister Rosie. And this evening, Sister Rapley called, and she said she had to instruct her to go back down to the doctor, make her father took her down. Because she can hardly walk, I'm telling you. That breast is so big and huge. It said it's actually going up to her mouth now, the way it's huge.
Oh, Lord.
And you know what? I am just asking my dear sister, you know, just to lift up Rosie in prayer. And before I even stop, I'm going to pour forward a prayer and cut my testimony, them short. Short that others can go in. I will just lift her up. Just hold on a little, Sister Leola. Let us pray. Father in heaven, what a friend we have in Jesus.
Yes.
What a great physician we have. What a loving, tender master, the foundation of heaven and earth and everything. People, Lord, our lack of knowledge, Lord, because they do not trust you. And Heavenly Father, this morning, this evening, myself and Advent Light come before you on behalf of one of your daughter, Sister Rosie, who is suffering, Lord, in pain with that cancer, breast cancer. Father, she can't bear it no more. Heavenly Father, the pain is so much that the children just have to be looking on her and can't do nothing. But this evening, Lord, we can do something because we present her to you and we have faith in you.
Yes.
We believe, Lord Jesus, that you can do it. We have saw what you have done for Naaman. We saw what you have done for the woman with issue of blood for 12 years. We saw what you have done for the 38-year-old man. Tears was suffering, Lord, with the widowed Anne, Lord. We saw the one that was blind. We saw the demon possessed. And, Lord, you have healed all of them wherever you go. So, dear Father, this evening, we are asking you to dispatch your spirit, dispatch your angels at Rose's house now.
Yes,
and Heavenly Father, I'm asking you, please, Lord, in the name of Jesus, let your will be done. Allow her, dear God, to prove you tonight so that she can go and testify and share the goodness of you. She walk in with you, Lord, to give her life fully surrendered to you. And we ask you, Lord, to touch and allow the children to, dear God, that they can come to know you. We present her in your hand. And, Lord, we know we have no other God beside you who we can trust. The great physician, the healer, the provider, the sustainer, the one can deliver us, Lord. And we leave it in your hand. Bless us, Lord. Bless each one of us on this line, every family that represents. And help us, Lord Jesus, that we will all prepare to listen to the word that coming from you, because you are the foundation, you are the solid rock that the church built upon. And as Peter said, the gates of hell cannot prevail. No devil, no one can stop your truth to be preached, because your truth, Lord Jesus, is what you said you love, and you love to hear when your children settle in the truth. So we have the truth to go out there to preach. Allow us, Lord, that we can go out and do your will, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Yes, Sister Leola, thank you for opening my line. God bless. And my dear beloved, Sister Powell is doing well so far. The veins, them are here. You know, do a little, look a little better, you know, because, you know, you have to have faith to trust God, that God is able to do all things. And I just today let you know, I have a rest today, rest day. We didn't do any work down Rosie, but so far Rosie play project is going, it's moving by the grace of God, and we know that God is going to able to allow it one day to be completed. God bless, God bless. Thank you, Sister Leola, for opening my line. Bye.
You're welcome, Sister Powell. I know all of our hearts goes out to your sister and our sister, Rosie. And God, and our Father sees her pain. He sees the problem there. He sees it all. And he knows how much she can bear. So he knows and he will take care of her. So I'm just so thankful that you have lifted up in prayer. And as you was praying, I was just thanking God for what he already have done to share and to lift up Sister Rose in prayer. So we thank you. And then also Sister Lynn has been trying to get in touch with you. So hopefully she's going to be on the prayer line tonight. Amen. And I will text you to call me. So I just want to thank you once again. Amen. So, brothers and sisters, we just want to say welcome again on Advent Light Ministry, that our brothers and sisters come to fellowship and give their praise to God. So we're going to go and open the next line because I don't know how much time she has. She may be going to work. So let us open her line. Amen. We open the line for 423-635. Your line is open. And you can give us your name.
Thank you, Sister Leola, for opening my line. Good evening. This is Sister Carla. Just thanking the Lord for another day. I am actually here at work. I'll be getting off at 8 o'clock. doing 12 hours. I thank the Lord it was a good day that I was able to encourage this young lady that's going to be placed tomorrow into a home. So I just thank the Lord, and, you know, I just got to keep her in prayer. Sister C, keep her in prayer. And I just was listening, Sister Powell, sharing, and my heart goes out to the dear sister. And as I was listening to her, I remember I was listening to a program of a lady that had breast cancer, and the guy, the medical missionary physician, he talked about white willow bark, and that's for pain, white willow bark. You know, two teaspoon of white willow bark in 16 ounce of water and boil it and drink it. And, you know, if she drink it, that's for pain. But, you know, God is the greatest physician of all, and he can heal according to his will. So may we, you know, Sister Rosie and her family put their trust in God so that he can heal her cancer, so that he can restore her health. And I just want to share Psalms chapter 9, starting at verse 1. Psalms chapter 9, verse 1, it said, I will praise thee, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will show forth all thy marvelous works. I will be glad and rejoice in thee. I will sing praises to thy name, O thou most high. When my enemies are turned back, they shall fall and perish at thy presence. For thou hast maintained my right and my cause. Thou sittest in the throne judging right. Thou hast rebuked the heathen. Thou hast destroyed the wicked. Thou hast put out their names forever and ever. And I'm going to jump. Verse 6, O thou enemy, destruction are come to a perpetual end, and thou hast destroyed cities. Their memorial is perish with them. But the Lord shall endure forever. He has prepared his throne for judgment. He shall judge the world in righteousness. He shall minister judgment to the people in uprightness. Verse 9, the Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in the time of trouble. And they that know thy name will put their trust in thee. For thou, Lord, has not forsaken them that seek thee. Amen. So may Sister Rosie and each and every one of us, as we're going through our crucible or different trials, may we put our trust in God. He said he will not forsake us. He will be a refuge for the oppressed, especially in a time of trouble, in a time of pain, the time of distress, the time of don't know where to turn and who to look to. We have to look up, because our redemption is drawing near. So thank you again, Sister Leola, for opening up my line. God bless.
Amen, amen. Thank you, Sister Carla, just for sharing with us. And it just to remind us what he has said, that he is our refuge. And if we continually to make him our refuge and our fortress, you know, we can't go wrong. We just got to, doesn't matter whether sickness or death take us, we still got to stay strong and call on the name of the Lord. So may God bless you, Sister Carla, at work, and your clients. May God continue to bless them and give them wisdom. Amen. So thank you, Sister Carla, for coming on to share with us. And we're going to open the next line, my brothers and sisters. I want to thank God. Oh, thank you, Father. Sisters and brothers, my headache is getting to like a minimum. It's almost going away, so I'm grateful for that. Let me open the next line. That's 985-232. I'm opening your line, and you can give your name and where you're calling from. Amen.
Good evening, sisters and brothers. This is Sister Brenda calling from Houma, Louisiana. Just want to thank God for being watching over us and waking us up this morning. Thank him for being so good and so kind to us. He's an awesome God. I'd like to read a prayer. Father, sometime I forget that is your grace that saved me. Sometimes I try to lean on my own righteousness, which will never be enough. Thank you for freely giving me the gift of righteousness, for redeeming my little life and allow me to stand in your presence, justified and blameless because of what Jesus has done. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Thank God for his grace that brought us through. And we know through his son that saved us in our sins that we have a right to the tree of life. So we just thank God because he's an awesome God, and he's a blessing God, and he's always on time. So I'd just like to ask for prayer for Advent Light, for the family members that's on and off the prayer line, all aboard, the sick, the homeless, the nursing home, the hospital, the bereaved, and wherever the rest confined it. And we just want to ask for prayer for the Chief Just Line rolling, prayer for the help on this line. Everybody, God, keep them in good health. All the ministry, all the rest of the members. And we want to pray for Sister Powell in Jamaica, doing her ministry, and all the rest of them aboard. Want to keep each other in prayer and thank the Lord for giving us another day of worship. And we just want to ask that y'all just stay in tune, that we can keep each other in prayer on Advent Light so it can run aboard. Amen. God bless.
Yeah, I'd like to say hello to everyone. This is Brother John from Houma, Louisiana. And I like the scripture that my wife had read. And I was just thinking, once was blind, but now I see. When she read her scripture, I thought about that one there. She said, amazing grace. And I also was thinking about, yeah, my life is so different now from my past. It's just amazing, you know. And making better and better choices and things like that, that I just want to share with everyone. And if I may put this feel like in a scripture way, it feels like I came from sleepwalking to awake. I may put it like that. That's what it seemed like. Like I was sleepwalking in the past, just wasn't doing things right. And now from sleepwalk to awake, that's what it feels like, a new awakening inside me. And I want to keep it alive in God's name and God's word. So God bless. Amen.
Praise God, Brother John. We understand, my brother. And, you know, when you are in darkness, you can't see. But when you come to the light, you are awakened. So God has truly blessed. So I am so glad to hear, and even my brothers and sisters on here, we are all happy for you that you have come to the light, and that's what Christ says. To dwell in him, it has to be light. So we just want to thank God for that. So we're going to go to the next caller, and we thank the Father for Sister Brenda and reading her scriptures. And, you know, the more you read, the more you study, the more that thing really absorb in your life, telling you God is helping you. So I just want to thank God for you once again, Brother John and Sister Brenda, for y'all continue to be on this prayer line, because that the Bible said, well, let me just say, if we pray together and we stay together, we come together always on this prayer line, lifting up as we are always learning something on here. If it is not about God, is about health, is always something good. So I just praise God for all my brothers and sisters. So
So we're going to go to the next caller, and we just thank you all for just being patient and joining us and sharing your testimonies. Okay, we have a couple more. We have Brother Eli first, and then we have our other brother that raised his hand. So, Eli, we're going to open your line. So your line is open.
Hey.
Amen.
Amen. Hello, my beloved brothers and sisters. God is good. He's worthy to be praised, my beloved brothers and sisters. My name's Brother Eli. I'm calling from Boston, Massachusetts. First of all, I'd like to thank God, Sister Miola, for opening my line. I'd like to thank God for his love. I'd like to thank God for his mercy because God is good, my brothers and sisters. My brothers and sisters, if you're feeling stressed at this moment, my brothers and sisters, keep praying to the Lord, my brothers and sisters. Fix your eyes up on Jesus, my brothers and sisters. My beloved brothers and sisters, young people, young lady, young men, what matter what you're going through, young men, young lady, what matter what you're going through, my brothers and sisters, trust in the Lord. Keep praying. Do seven songs, seven prayers, my brothers and sisters. More prayer, more power, my beloved brothers and sisters. I feel like prayer, Sister Viola, for everyone on this prayer line. Amen, amen. Yes, Lord, God, Heavenly Father, Lord, God, we magnify your name, Lord, at this moment, Lord. God, we want to thank you, God, for what you have done for us, Lord. God, we want to thank you, God, because, God, you are able, God, to do all things, God. God, I want to lift our Sister Miola to you, Lord, who is hosting the prayer line, Lord. We ask the God to God bless Sister Miola, God, in the mock way, Lord. We ask the God to give Sister Miola the strength, Lord. Give Sister Miola the power, Lord. Get Sister Miola deliverance, God. God, you are able, God, to do all things, God. God, we ask you, God, to come bless Sister Miola, Lord. God, we want to thank you, God, for what you have done for Sister Miola, Lord. God, we want to lift up Brother Akeem James, Lord. God, we want to lift up Sister Miola's husband to you, Lord. We ask you, God. Allow him to know that, God, I will do the right thing, Lord. I'm asking you, God, to speak to Sister Miola's husband tonight, Lord. We ask God to come bless her, Lord. Bless Sister Miola too, Lord. God, we ask God to watch over Sister Miola, Lord. God, we want to live with Sister Tamiko, Lord, who went to Florida, Lord. We ask God to come bless Sister Tamiko, God, in the Marquay, Lord. We ask God to cover Sister Tamiko, Lord, while she's going to Florida, Lord, while she's going to travel to Florida, Lord. We ask God to bless Sister, bless her, Lord, in the Marquay, Lord. Bless Sister Tamiko, God, and her beloved mother, Lord. Bless her beloved daughter, Lord. God, we want to thank you, God, for what you have done for her beloved daughter, Lord. God, you are able, God, to do all things, God. God, you are mighty. God, you are the King of Kings. God, you are the Lord of Lords. There is no one else like you, Lord. How excellent is your name, God. God, you are worthy to be praised, Lord. I'm asking you, God. I want to lift my Sister Carla to you, Lord. I'm asking you, God. Allow her to be strong in you, Lord. Allow her to call your name, Father. Allow her to cry out to you, Jesus. Allow her to cry out to you, Lord, and say, Jesus, deliver me in the mighty name of Jesus. Jesus, save my life. Jesus, come deliver me. Lord, I'm asking you, God, to come deliver Sister Carla, Lord, at this moment, Lord. Break every chain, God. Break every chain for her, Lord. Allow her to do seven songs, Lord, and seven prayers, Lord. Allow her to do that, Lord. Allow her to do seven songs and seven prayers, Lord. Allow her to pray in her prayer closet. husband, Lord. We ask to God to bless us to Carla, Lord. Allow her to do a prayer, God, in her prayer closet, Lord. Bless her, God, in the mock way, Lord. Watch over her, Lord. God, we ask to God to want to lift up Amanda to you, Lord. God, we want to lift up Brother Nicholas to you, Lord. We ask to God to bless them, God, in the mock way, Lord. Watch over them, Lord. God, watch over Brother Wick, God. Watch over Brother O'Neill, God. Bless them, God, in the mock way, Lord. Watch over them, Lord. Watch over us, God. Strengthen us, Lord. God, in the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen. Sister Miola, I feel
amen.
Like to sing a song to my dear sister.
Amen.
Sister Miola. Amen. Thank you, Sister Miola. Thank you for opening my line, my dear. Can I sing a song or...
Amen. We have to open the next line for the next brother. Amen.
Amen.
By God's grace, if we have time, we will do that. But we have to open the next line, my brother. So we want to thank Brother Eli for offering up prayers for us. And we also thank him for his prayer and just sharing with us. So thank you so much, Brother Eli. And now we need to go to the next caller. We're going to open the line for 518-744. We're opening your line, and you can give us your name and where you're calling from. Amen.
Amen, Sister Leola. This is Frederick from Fort Ann, New York. And I've been out here listening, and it's just good to hear the brothers and sisters. Good to hear Brother Eli, Brother John, Sister Brenda, Sister Carla, Sister Powell. That was a real blessing to hear her and get her testimony, and also her prayer request for Sister Rosie. We want to keep lifting up Sister Rosie in prayer. That is, cancer is not a nice thing. I see more and more and more of it all around me, and I am just thankful tonight the Lord has spared me from that. He has spared many of us from that, and I don't know what will happen in the future, but for now, God has been very good to me. He is so good. I'm just thanking him for another day, for another weekend. We had a beautiful service at our church in Kingsbury this past weekend, and it was just a blessing to go and worship God. As I was listening, Sister Leola, you had mentioned a verse that came from Psalm 91. I just wanted to read a couple verses out of Psalm 91. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. He shall cover thee with His feathers. Under His wings shalt thou trust. Truth shall be thy shield and buckler. And He shall give His angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. And then skipping down to verse 14, because He has set His love upon me, therefore will I deliver Him. I will set Him on high, because He hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer Him. I will be with Him in trouble. I will deliver Him and honor Him. Long life will I satisfy Him, show Him my salvation. Now, I did not read the whole thing because it's fairly long, but I didn't want to take up too much time. But, you know, these are just some beautiful promises. And as time continues on here, brothers and sisters, we're going to need to claim these promises more and more. Look at the news every now and then. I try not to look at it too often, but I do like to keep up on what's going on around me. So I look at it now and then, and the pain and heartache and of the people in the world where they're just needing a Savior. And we know that Savior. We know who He is. We need to get that news to them. We need to present Christ to those people, because without Him they will die and they will not go on into eternity. So we want to give them that chance, that beautiful chance that God has given us. So want to lift up my daughter Ashley in prayer, my wife, my friend Chuck, who has cancer. People everywhere, cancer seems to be cropping up everywhere. But all of my family members, brothers and sisters, keep lifting them up. And we want to just lift up a special prayer for Sister Tamiko, who is traveling. And she's a dear sister who is faithfully on the prayer line. I don't believe that she is able to talk right now, but she has been texting just beautiful verses all day long. And so we want to lift her up for protection and God's mercy and his grace upon her also, sister. So I will end with that because I don't want to take up too much time. But thank you for opening my line and just praising God because he is so good to me. Thank you.
Amen, Brother Rick. We want to thank you. And yes, as my brothers and sisters, we are here and to show the love towards one another. We always in prayer for our brothers and sisters for safe travel and mercy. And you know the prayers that has been lifted up for my family and Brother Ray traveling, Sister LaCole, you know we are so grateful for prayers lifted up. So we thank you, brothers and sisters, for what you do in your closet prayer, praying for each and every one. Amen. And Brother Rick, we thank you for your faithfulness, you know, here on the prayer line and working with the board and all these things that Brother Rick do. You know, that's something that he don't have to do, but that's something that he's willing to do because he loves God. I praise you. I praise God, and I thank you for your faithfulness. Amen. And we got one more caller, and we're going to go into prayer, my brothers and sisters. And I asked Brother Akeem if he can be on at 8:15. Hopefully he can be here. So let us open the next line. Amen. And we thank our brothers and sisters for coming on and sharing. I thank God that we got quite a few on. So let us open the next line for 631-552. We opening your line. Amen. And you can give us your name and where you're calling.
Blessing, good night, each and everyone. Thank God for his goodness, his grace. Truly our God is awesome. I want to thank Sister Leola for opening up my line. And thank my dear brother Rick for his wonderful counsel always to us. And we are lifting up your family in prayer as one of our brethren here in New York just lost her husband from the deadly sea, Big Sea, to cancer. Yeah, prostate cancer. I've been visiting them almost every week too. Do what I can, but God said his timing. He passed on Friday, call it Sabbath night, he passed. So, let us ask for prayer for the family as they go through this time. But we know when someone die and they have a relationship with God, is not the death of sorrow, but the death of eternal joy. Because when Jesus comes, that person will be reign with God forever. And that's one of the most important things. We know why people have to die, because of sin entrance into the world. But the gift of God, which is eternal life, that God has granted to every man. This is a quote from the book Ministry of Desire Pages on the chapter 86 that entitled Go Teach All Nations. And I love this chapter because it is very, very speak about the work of Christ, what he came here for this earth to do. In Isaiah 61, we see what he did. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. And what he was doing, lifting the burdens of others. And he mentioned it in Luke chapter 4, from verse 17 through 19, what he would do. But in these last ages, this is so profound on chapter, because the medical missionary work is in line with the gospel right here. It says in page 824, paragraph 1 to 3, here what it says, the Savior men of Elim were lessons for his disciples. On one occasion, he anointed the eye of a blind man with clay and bade him go wash in the pool of Siloam. His way, therefore, and wash, and came seeing, as is found in John 9, verse 7. The cure could be wrought only by the power of the great healer. Yet Christ made use of the simple agency of nature. While he did not give countenance to drug medication, he sanctioned the use of simple and natural remedies. To many of the afflicted ones who received healing, Christ said, "Sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee." John 5, verse 14. Thus he taught that disease is the result of violating God's law, both natural and spiritual. The great misery in the world would not exist did man but live in harmony with the Creator's plan. Christ has been the guide and teacher of ancient Israel, and he taught them that health is the reward of obedience to the law of God. You see that in Exodus 15, verse 26. Christ was speaking to his people, ancient Israel, as he's speaking to us, modern Israel, Seventh-day Adventists, in the last days of earth history. The same message he's saying to us in Exodus 26 here. Exodus 15, 26, pardon me. It says, "And if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments," which is the health message as well, "and keep all his statutes, and will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee." In other words, many people would say, the Bible saying that God put disease upon people. Does God do that to people? It's a choice. It's a choice based on their choice. The Egyptians were eating anyhow they wanted to do. And Israel was being bought in slavery. And they adopt many of the principles of the Egyptians. And they were enslaved, so they had to eat mainly what was provided to them. But in the wilderness, God was changing their, bringing them back to the diet that he provided in Genesis 1 for them. And God got to instruct them what to do in Exodus 15, verse 26. So it says here, "Taught them that health is the reward of obedience to the law of God. The great physician who healed the sick in Palestine has spoken to his people from the pillar of cloud." It was Christ that was speaking to them by the pillar of cloud, telling them that what they must do and what God would do for them. "If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God," he said, "and will do that which is right in his sight, I will give ear to his commandments and keep his statutes. I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee." Christ gave to Israel definite instruction in regard to their habits of life. He assured them, "The Lord will take away from thee all sickness," in Deuteronomy 7, verse 15. When they fulfilled the condition, the promise was verified, meaning that once they do comply with God's command, he will bless one feeble person among their tribes. So there was not one feeble person among their tribes, once you listen to God. Psalms 105, verse 37. It says here, "These lessons are for us, So these lessons, what happened to ancient Israel, it's for us to in 2023 as well. They are conditions to be observed by all who would preserve health. All should learn what these conditions are. The Lord is not pleased with ignorance in regard to his laws, either natural or spiritual. We are to be workers together with God for the restoration of health to the body as well as to the soul. So our famous text that we read every Thursday, unto the beloved Jairus, he says, I wish above all things that thou prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers. So God not just care about our spiritual, he care about also our physical. He cares also about our emotional. He also cares about our social life. Because when people, if you've been to people when they are sick, many people, they're not in good spirit. They're emotionally drained. They're physically drained. Some are spiritually drained. Some are even mentally drained. So God wants to restore the old man, the old being. He says here as I close, He says, for the sick we should use the remedy that God has provided in nature, and we should point them to him who alone can restore. It is our work to present the sick and suffering to Christ in the arms of our faith. We should teach them to believe in the great healer. We should lay hold on his promise and pray for the manifestation of his power. The very essence of the gospel is restoration. So the very essence of the gospel, it is restoration of mind, body, and spirit. The very essence of the gospel is restoration. And the Savior would have us bid the sick, the hopeless, and the afflicted take hold upon his strength. Thank you, Sister Yola, for opening up my line. I just ask that you all keep me in prayer while I do my part in proclaim the gospel of health, the everlasting gospel of three angel message in this year to those whom I come in contact with, and also a praise report based on our effort yesterday after we had lunch. We went out to the byways and the highways and we gave out some great controversy, some steps to Christ to all those who were passing by. And also we went into some stores like the salons and the food, the delis, and everyone that we saw in our presence, to the supermarkets, and we gave out some books to the people, because I realized that many times we have potluck, we have fellowship on Sabbath, but Sabbath is not a day for no work. It's a day, one of the greatest days to evangelize. And that was Christ's mission. So let us play our part. Thank you so much for opening our line.
Amen, amen. I just want to thank God for that, Brother O'Neill. And I wanted to read something concerning to what you're saying, but it's come from the scripture, Isaiah 1:5-6, but it's in Maranatha in March 2nd. It says, there is a remedy, for the remedy is in Jesus, precious Savior. His grace is sufficient for the weakest, and the strongest must also have his grace or perish. He said, I sought this grace could be obtained. Go to your closet and there alone plead with God. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Because in earnest, be sincere, Jacob-like, wrestled in prayer, agonized, you must make an effort. Seek the Lord with all your heart. Come with zeal. And when you sincere feel that without the help of God, you perish. When you pant after him, as the hart pants after the water of the brook. You know, they're talking about something like a deer because they go drink that water. And it says, you know, a deer go down, one of them little animals, they go down to the brook and drink their water. So he's saying if we pant after like that animal, you know, that animal thirsts, he got to drink. She said, take time and be not hurry and careless in your prayer. Lord, boy, I'm telling you, sometimes, you know, we have to really think on this. She said, beg of God to work in your thought, on your thoroughly reformation, that the fruit of his spirit may dwell in you, and you shine as the light in the world. Be not a hindrance or a curse to cause of God. To cause of God. You can be a help, a blessing. Does Satan tell you that you cannot enjoy salvation? Believe him not. So I'm going to stop there because we're going to go into prayer and we're just going to thank God for what he said. Amen. Because it's 15 and just give me just a second because our brother will be on shortly. So we want to thank you, Brother O'Neill, for bringing that little mini sermon to us. And as God is calling us, you know, we must try for that help, because as I think of myself, God can't use me sick. I'm going out there sick, and that ain't, it won't be a good sermon. That won't be a good witness. So we got to ask God to help us, and that we can go out there and help others. So let us go into a word. Let us go into prayer, and my sisters and brothers, please be in prayer. With whomever is praying, pray with us. Let us come together and pray, and that the power of God can hear these prayers. Because Sister Power requests for Rosie, and nobody can imagine the pain Rosie's going through. As Sister Power said, that has gotten almost up to her face. That's bad. I know she got to be in some serious pain. So let us lift up Rosie in prayer again. Brother Rick mentioned a brother. But I think, yes, Brother O'Neill.
Where's Rosa? She's in America?
No, she's in Jamaica.
Okay. She's in severe pain, right?
No, she's not in therapy right now. I think she's about to go. I think she had to go back to the doctor, as Sister Powell was saying. But you know, it's like you say, they just looking at her, and nobody can do nothing but pray. You know, and your heart just goes out to her. The pain, you can't help her, but kind of help her, give us some relief by doing something, whatever the time.
So there's an internal herb. There's an internal herb that I knew somebody that was suffering from prostate cancer. They was going through a lot of pain, and what was recommended for them to take? What they was recommended is a herb in Jamaica called the Jamaican dogwood. The Jamaican
dogwood.
Yes.
Okay,
it's
I don't know. I believe Sister Powell can hear it, and I'll mention it to her again. So, Brother O'Neill, can you go into a prayer for our sister?
What's her name again?
For Sister Rosie. Sister Rosie.
Okay, no problem.
And
no
also
problem.
Lift up Sister Powell, because the work she's doing is a mighty work there in Jamaica. Amen? You can go, Brother
Amen.
O'Neill.
Mm-hmm.
can go ahead and pray.
Okay.
Did you hear me? Lift up Rosie in prayer and lift up Sister Power in prayer.
Okay.
Amen.
Let us pray.
Okay, Brother O'Neill, Brother Akeem say he's on. So you just do a general prayer for us. And because he's on and amen. Just do a general
prayer. Okay. Let us pray. Eternal God and our Father, you understand every heartache and pain, O Lord. That's why you became us, to redeem us. We thank you for your love towards us. In the mighty name of Jesus I come, O Lord. So I petition on behalf of your people, O Lord. If there's anything in me that is unlike you, O Lord, any sin, any transgression, Lord, I ask you to forgive me. That my prayer to come up to you, a sweet incense. Lord, we see what is happening in our world. Sickness is all around us, O Lord. The time of the end. The enemy is working overtime because he knows you have but a short time. But as inspiration tells us that you are the mighty healer, Jesus. There were no disease that was foreign to you while you are on earth. You heal all manner of diseases. Physical, mental, spiritual, emotional, social. That was your work. Lord, I pray, O Lord, for Rosa at this time, O Lord. The affliction that she's going through. It's overbearing, O Lord. And she seeks relief. Pray, O Lord, according to your will, O Lord. You comfort her and grant her relief to this painful ordeal. We pray, O Lord, that our faith will not wane, nor our confidence in you. Lord, I pray, Sister Paul, O God, very active, always on the move for our Lord. And for our greatest wish, my greatest desire was to help those who are in need. And Father, we have sent her down there to Jamaica to bless many with her influence, with her talents. To bring hope to the hopeless and point them to the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Cover on your blood, Lord, with your going out and your coming in. Provide the means, O Lord, to accomplish this work that she is doing. Father, strengthen our faith, O Lord. Father, I pray, Lord, you come to endure with your spirit. Father, I pray for Brother Rick, O God, and his entire family. You know, brother, that is going through cancer. Father, that has been one of the most troubling disease in this world that has caused more pain than any other disease on this planet. Oh Lord, I pray for relief according to your will. I pray for healing, oh Lord. Lord, suffering is not easy, oh Lord. But we know what's the cause. Once sin entered this world, it seems that everything has been touched. Everything has been touched. We thank you, God, that one day, by and by, there will be no more sin, no more sickness, no more sorrow, no more pain. But it will be that which you have made things to be from the beginning, eternally good. Father, pray for those on the line, O Lord, who are suffering from many ailments, O Lord, that you will grant healing and restoration. Father, we know, Lord, that you are touched with the feelings of our very infirmities and you're able to succor us, Lord. Father, I pray for spiritual strength in my life, O Lord. Give me a deeper interest in the things of God, O Lord. Help me to be purposeful, fulfill the plan that you have for my life. To aid those who are in need, O Lord. In each and every one of us on this line. Help us, O Lord, to be about our Father's business. The time is drawing late, O Lord, and every endurance will be in full sway to stop us from proclaiming this gospel. But while we have time now, in this era of religious liberty, help us, O Lord, to go forth. Help us, O Lord, to invest in the kingdom of heaven, O Lord. Not like the rich young ruler, O Lord, who would not invest into the kingdom of heaven. But it was selfish. Only selfless people will be in the kingdom, O Lord. So help us, O Lord. Thus to do in Matthew 28. To go all into the world. We mean our next door neighbor. We mean our co-worker. We mean our friends. We mean our family. We mean the person we meet at the store, the post office, wherever we are, Lord. We are witnesses for you. Help us, O Lord, to know that we are all saved to serve. Cover us on your blood, O Lord. Speak up for tonight, O Lord. I pray, O Lord, that you will endure me to your spirit, O Lord. Hiding behind the cross, O Lord. Lift his hand up, O Lord. Touch his voice, O Lord. Give him the words to say to us today. Give us receptive ears, O Lord. Help us to follow through in our Bibles, through this presentation, O Lord. And may presentation, we may be drawing closer to you. Just you may pray thanksgiving. Amen.
Amen, amen. Thank you, Brother O'Neill, for giving us the prayer. And brothers and sisters, we're going to, it's time to bring Brother King James on. He is our speaker for tonight, and we're going to tell everyone we are welcoming you once again on this prayer line, and we are thanking you for coming to be on this prayer line, because without you, there won't be. So thank you very much for coming to join tonight. And now we will introduce Brother Akeem to you. We will open Brother Akeem James' name. Amen. Okay, brothers and sisters, we are bringing our King James on the prayer line, and he is the speaker. Amen. Your line is open, brother.
Amen.
I meant to say, Pastor, I wanted to say something right quick. Brothers and sisters, Brother Akeem was invited. A friend of mine needed like a pastor. They do the single meetings with my daughter, and she my daughter said, well, Brother Akeem James is on the prayer line, and she said, well, she asked him his credentials, and he told her that he had pastor, and I said, Brother Akeem, we are so sorry. We're going to address you as Pastor Akeem James, because he do have his pastoral license, so we're going to say Pastor Akeem James. So you're welcome, brother, on this prayer line. Amen?
Amen. No worries. No problem. No problem. And keep me in prayer at a certain point. Very soon I will have that. Right now I'm just a lay pastor, just helping and volunteering, but by God's grace, things have within these past 2 weeks, all I could say is that there's been a tremendous shift, and it looks like things are actually going to now happen, something that I've been actually waiting for over probably since 2001 has just switched. And so by God's grace, soon I will definitely be an official pastor of the Seventh-day Adventist Church. So it's no worries. I'm just a fellow brother and in the faith, and I appreciate you all. Thank you so much, Sister Leola.
Amen.
At this time, so I wanted to go over something with you all, and it's a very interesting topic in light of recent events, and probably many of you have heard of it just within these past few weeks, probably a month or almost a month now. And the reason I'm addressing the subject is because so many people from the get-go, well, some even among Adventists, are wondering about this situation, and that is the revival that has been happening for a few weeks at the at Aylesbury College, or university, sorry. And this revival has been happening for a few weeks now, almost a month now, and thousands upon thousands have gone to this revival, and they have been a part of it. They've been singing, many of them in sincerity to the Lord and in love for God. I'm sure that many people went to this revival that's been happening at this university, and not only at the university, but because that has been happening, a lot of other revivals are popping up all over the United States, across the United States. And so in different colleges, universities, different meetings, revival meetings that are happening. And so a member of mine, when it first started happening, she came to me and she actually said, and this kind of, in a sense, it kind of broke, I mean, later on, it kind of, I don't want to say broke my heart, but it was kind of saddening because we went over so many different meetings and prophecy meetings and things like that. And it shows me, it revealed to me that, man, I have to go, while keeping the message simple, I have to go deeper and help the people to understand what to look out for when we're looking for a revival of primitive godliness. And so that's one of the things that we're going to talk about today. I want to preface it by saying before we pray, I truly believe that the people that have come to this revival held at this university and also other universities and institutions, that many of the people are sincere in their beliefs. Many of the people are desiring and they have a hunger for Jesus Christ. As you hear the people singing and coming into connection with each other, you could tell that they just desire to be where they sense that the Spirit is. And as I heard my one of the members say that, and they were like, you know, could this be the revival that was prophesied to take place at the end of time? And I realized that the individual was not talking about the false revival. They were thinking that this could be the true revival, the spark or the beginnings of the true revival that was prophesied to take place at the end of time. And so it shows me that people are at different stages, people are at different levels. Some people listen when they want to listen, and then they don't catch the other portions of things that may be taught. But tonight I wanted to cover that because I do not know what will become ultimately of this revival that's happening. But one thing I do know is what the Word of God reveals to us as to the location of the coming true revival. And so let's pray and let's head into the Word. Father in heaven, illuminate our minds and our hearts and draw us ever closer to you. Help us to gain understanding that we may live in harmony with the principles of your Word. I pray and I ask these things, Lord, that we may
Remember that we have a chart pointing out every waymark in the journey to heaven, and we need not guess at anything, as we were told. So help us, Father, we pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
So with that, you have in your Bibles, go with me in your Bibles to the book of Revelation. Revelation, and we're going to go to chapter 13. Revelation chapter 13. As we go there, it's not only this revival that's happening, and as we look out into the world today, there's also a film coming out. It's a true story, actually, and it's a film surrounding the Jesus movement. The title of the film is The Jesus Revolution, and it's following the story of Pastor Greg Laurie, Chuck Smith, and also another individual who is being played by the character that plays Jesus in the series known as The Chosen. And he's playing an individual, a powerful charismatic speaker that actually existed during the time that Greg Laurie found Christ. Greg Laurie is a megachurch pastor, and also he worked, he was won to the faith through this individual. And I will try to get the individual's name for you as we go through. Okay, yeah, so here it is. Let me bring this up here. So the persons, the individuals, the main characters. So yes, his name is Lonnie Frisbee. So in that time, in the time of the 1960s, when this revolution began to happen, also known as the Jesus movement, it was a man by the name of Lonnie Frisbee. He was a man who was involved in the hippie movement, but he became a, he was converted and became a powerful charismatic preacher. Then you also had Greg Laurie, who later on became a pastor and is a pastor today of a megachurch. And then Chuck Smith as well, who, in order to reach out to the hippie movement at that time and draw them to Christ, he also opened up his church that the people would come, that the people in this movement would come and hear about Christ. And it divided the church when that happened. But they made a movie out of this. Ultimately, Lonnie Frisbee, he passed away. He died because he was a semi-closet homosexual. And as time went on, he contracted AIDS, and he died as a result of contracting AIDS. And so one of the things that happened after this was, as time went on, they made a film about it, which is, I think it's actually coming out today. And so Greg Laurie mentioned he hopes that out of this as well comes a revival. And so I'm looking at that, and one night the Lord said to me right after, this was about 3 weeks ago, as this thing was starting up, 5 days into it, this revival at Osbury University, God convicted me, said, Akeem, go back and spend a few hours studying the prophetic layout that has been given to this movement in the book of Revelation 13 and Revelation 14. And so as I began to study this out, friends, there's a chart I recommend each and every one of you get. It can be found on ceilingtime.com. Ceilingtime.com. It's a powerful prophecy chart. You can get it digitally. You can order it, get a small copy of it, laminated, or you can get a big copy. And that's the one I got. So I laid it out on the floor, and studied it all the way, probably, I think, until 1 a.m. in the morning, trying to praying every 10 minutes and then going back into the study for another 10 to 15 minutes for about the space of an hour and a half, seeking to understand the prophetic events once again. And as I continued studying, God helped me to understand this powerful point that I was like, wow, Lord, this is why you have given us a more sure word of prophecy. And we've been talking about this for many different Sundays. And it could be that which we're seeing right now, or it may take, we know that it will take place in the future. But our work is to have our eyes opened
and to be awake as we are looking into the things that are happening in America today. And so in Revelation chapter 13, specifically starting from verse 11, we understand that according to Bible prophecy and according to the historical narrative, we would be in the United States of America. From Revelation 13, verses 1 to 10, it's covering the papacy's history, going from just before it received papal domination or people rose to papal supremacy, all the way through to 1798, when its power was taken away, its civil power was taken away. In Revelation chapter 13, 11, it depicts another power rising up, and it would rise, and as it arose in its governmental structure, because we know that a beast in Bible prophecy represents a nation or a kingdom, and that is found in Daniel chapter 7, verse 23. But as we looked at that, so this nation, it would have two horns like a lamb. In other words, the way that it governs itself, it would look like Christ. But then it says in Revelation 13, 12, and he, that is, speaking of a nation that would rise at the same time the papacy's power was waning, and that's none other than the United States of America, it says, he exerciseth all the power of the first beast before him and causes the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. And so now we see the destiny of America, that ultimately while it was raised up and its constitutional principles are very powerful and it sought to bring liberty to all and along with the Declaration of Independence, we see that the future of this nation would be that it would restore the power of the papal system, which means it will give back to the papal system that which it lost in 1798. And what was that? It was none other than the civil power. The power that when it had that power on its side, it could enforce laws and edicts upon the masses of Western Europe. And the penalty could be the confiscation of property for not obeying those laws or even death itself. And so the United States of America, there is coming a day when it will cause the earth and them that dwell therein to worship the papacy. And it will be at a time when the papacy's deadly wound would be healed. But while Revelation 13 and verse 12 tells us what's coming, Revelation 13 and verse 13 onward tells us how it will happen. And so this is why we have to understand the final events very carefully. How will the papacy get its power back? So it says in verse 13, and he, so we're in the United States of America, do it great wonders so that he make it fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. Now look at what this wonder that is mentioned in verse 13, fire coming down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men, look at what it results in. It says, and deceives them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles, which he had power to do in the sight of the beast. That is in the sight of the first beast. That is in the sight of the papacy. And so what we're seeing here in verse 13 is that there is a time in the future when fire will come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. Now that could happen, literally. But friends, it's to remember that when we're reading the book of Revelation, we're reading a book that while, yes, there are portions of it that are literal, to be taken literally, the majority of it is given in signs and symbols. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 1, it tells us that God the Father gave the revelation to Jesus. Jesus gave it to the angel, and the angel signified it to John. What the signified means? What the signify means? Signify means to give in signs. That is the root word of signify. It means to give in signs or symbols. So the majority of the contents in Revelation is symbolic, and it's pulled from somewhere else in Scripture. So in Revelation chapter 13 and verse 13, the place that it's pulling from, and the beginning of verse 14 as well, is from two stories in Scripture. Story where fire falls from heaven, but it does not result in the destruction of people, but rather the drawing of people. Sodom and Gomorrah, when the fire fell, it resulted in the destruction of the people of that city. But the fire we're looking at in Revelation 13, 13 draws people. It does not destroy them. It draws people into deception. And the two stories that you have like that in the Old Testament is the story of Elijah, that when he had the showdown on Mount Carmel with the prophets of Baal, the fire fell from heaven as he prayed to God, devoured the sacrifice that he had set up. And friends, there was a great revival. The people were drawn back to God, away from Baal, to the point where the prophets of Baal were killed. Elijah gave the command and they were killed. So people were drawn back. Israel was drawn back to God after 3.5 years of famine. Of course, the revival was short-lived because we are told in Prophets and Kings that Elijah ran from Jezebel's threat that came later on. But friends, nevertheless, there was a revival, though short-lived. And how did the revival come? As the people saw fire coming down from heaven in response to Elijah's prayer to the true God, the fire came down and it drew the people. And it drew them into a true revival. Same thing happened in the New Testament. On the day of Pentecost, after the apostles had been praying in Acts chapter 1, along with the others who were there with them, 120 in all, praying in the upper room, in response to those prayers, and Jesus ascended to the right hand of God, standing before the throne, the signal that he had now come to before the Father's throne was that the Spirit was poured out on earth. And the physical sign of the Holy Spirit was that fire, cloven tongues of fire, fell upon the heads of those in the upper room. And friends, we remember what happened as a result. The gospel was proclaimed. Christ was exalted, not only as a crucified Savior, but as a risen and ascended Savior who is now interceding in the holy place. And what happened? A great revival. The people received, over 3,000 in a day were baptized. And so fire falling from heaven is a symbol of revival. When it draws, not destroys. And so in this situation, in the book of 1 Kings 18 with the story of Elijah, the showdown, that was a true revival, fire falling from heaven. In Acts chapter 2, it was a symbol, it was a true revival that literally happened. But in now Revelation 13:13, watch what happens. When this fire falls, it does not lead men to truth. It deceives them, all right? So what we're realizing here is that this is the prediction of a coming false revival. That's what we're looking at here. A coming false revival that will sweep across America, and it will be filled with signs and wonders. Friends, this is why I told us, when we're looking for the end time events, friends, so many people over the past few years have been looking at other things other than what the prophecy has told us, all right? And so the prophecy tells us, where do we need to look? We need to look at Protestantism in the USA. It's not the global elites that we need to look at. And you remember, I've been saying that for over the past few months as we've looked at these topics, that many Adventists are looking in the wrong place. But now, friends, as we are looking, if we are looking for a test run, this may very well be it, but we will have to wait and see. But one thing we do know is Revelation 13, verse 13 and 14, tells us of a coming false revival. It shows us that it will sweep across America, and what will happen as a result? It says in verse 14, "And besiege them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth, that they should make an image to the beast," that's the first beast, "which had the wound by a sword and did live." Verse 15 then tells us, "Those who do not worship that image will be killed." And the image of the beast, as we have always taught as Adventists, biblically, we've seen it from the Bible and from history. If the image is to the first beast, then the question is, how will America become like? Because to be in the image of is to be in the likeness of. How will America replicate the system of the papacy here? How will it look like the papacy? The question is, how did the papacy rule during the 1,260 years? The way that it ruled and had power, friends, was because right under it was the power of the state. It controlled the civil powers of Western Europe, and through them legislated laws that if not followed would result in dire penalties. So for the United States of America to make an image to the beast, it means that just as the church guided the state and dictated the state what they should do, in the same way America would come to the point where through this false revival, signs and wonders attending the fallen churches, it would give them so much influence and power that they would be able to control the state itself. And friends, this is what we must look out for. We are looking for a time when the church will run the state and through the state control the people. How will it be enabled to do that? Signs and wonders. Signs and wonders, miracles will take place. The result of which will be the church will guide the state, and out of that will come. What do we see next? It says in verse 16, and he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads. So out of the union of church and state, out of this false revival, comes the influence of the church over the state, and the result of that is influencing the people to what? To call not only for the union of church and state, but the result of that union would be the mark of the beast. So Revelation chapter 13 foretells a coming false revival, and it will happen in the United States. Now, here's the thing. God counteracts that false revival in Revelation 14. Through the three angels' messages, he counteracts what's happening in the fallen churches of Babylon, the evangelical apostate Protestant churches. God brings a message to warn people that this is not a true revival by calling out Babylon in the second angel's message. So I want you to look at this now. Revelation chapter 13 foretells the coming false revival. Revelation chapter 14 foretells that there will be a movement symbolized under three angels that will counteract the work of the fallen churches or of this false revival. But here's the thing. Something has to happen. This church, there's only one church that is teaching the three angels' messages and has been teaching it from its inception and its establishment in 1863. And that church is none other than the Seventh-day Adventist Church. Now, why do I say that? Because skip over with me in your Bible to the book of Revelation chapter 18. Revelation chapter 18 is a depiction. In Revelation 14, we see the three angels. In Revelation chapter 18, we see that a fourth angel comes and joins the three angels. And this fourth angel, friends, in the spirit of prophecy, we are told that this is the symbol of the final revival. Revelation 18:1 onward is showing us the final revival. But there is a message in the final revival. I want you to look at this. How do we know the fourth angel comes and amplifies the messages of the three angels? It says, and after these things I saw another angel come down from heaven having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. Now watch this. That's the revival now. The whole earth is filled with the glory of Christ. That's the revival. But now when the angel opens his mouth, when this movement symbolized under the fourth angel opens its mouth, look at the messages. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, Babylon the great is fallen. And has become the habitation of devils and the hold of every foul spirit and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird, for all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. The kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. Do you see it? This is why we are told in inspiration that the fourth angel, that fourth revival movement, comes and reiterates the three angels' messages, because in verses 2 and 3, we just saw the second angel's message repeated. But notice, friends, this is happening when this message is going out. It can only go out to the world at the time when probation is still open. How do we know that? Because, friends, in verse 4, God makes a final call to his people that are still in Babylon. Because it says here, and I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people. Let's stop there. If God is still calling people to salvation, that means the investigative judgment is still open. That means we're covering what angel? The first angel. The hour of his judgment has come. So in verses 2 and 3, we see the second angel's message. But now it's reached its completion. That's why it says it has become the habitation of devils, the hold of every foul spirit, and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. Because when the message first began to be given by, you can look this up historically, by Charles Fitch, a member of the Millerite movement, he first recognized in the churches of North America, Babylon, because they had rejected the message of a soon coming Savior. And they had rejected the Millerites. So he realized, whoa, these people are in confusion. And this is the very thing that Babylon means. Hence, he identified the fallen Protestant churches as Babylon. Not even William Miller received it immediately. But as time went on, he received that truth. And so, friends, from that time on, you can read this in Great Controversy, chapter 38, the very first paragraph that tells us this, that since that time that Charles Fitch gave that message, corruptions have been slowly but surely and now rapidly entering into the fallen churches. But Revelation 18 depicts a time when their corruption will be complete. So we're seeing the reiteration. That's why in Revelation 14:8, that second angel's message doesn't go forth with a loud voice, because the corruptions in Babylon had not yet reached its completion. But in Revelation 18, under the final revival, the corruption will reach its fullness. So in verses 2 and 3, we see the second angel's message. In verse 4, we see the investigative judgment is still open because God is calling people still to salvation. That's the first angel. But then it says at the end of Revelation 18:4, it says, "Come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues. For her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities." And you remember the third angel. The greatest woe upon those who receive the mark of the beast is that it tells us in the third angel's message they will receive the wrath of God. So we're seeing here all three angels now amplified, because this is the final call under the final revival. Now, do you see the revival movement? Do you see who then this revival movement must be? Friends, it can only be those, the only people that can give this final call are the people that have the three angels' messages, because we just saw it, the three angels' messages from verses 2 to 5. The only movement that can give the three angels' messages amplified is the movement that already had the three angels' messages. And so we're seeing here then where the true revival will happen, because Revelation 18, the movement depicted there, is the final revived movement of God. But if they're amplifying the three angels' messages, if this fourth angel comes and amplifies the three angels' messages, it can only mean that it already had it. You can only amplify something that you already have. And so this means, you know what we're looking at here, friends? We're looking in Revelation 18:1 onward at a revived Seventh-day Adventist church. That is where the final revival will happen. That means, friends, I say this respectfully, with all love and kindness, that means that the revival that is taking place in Osbury, the revival that is spreading forth from there to other churches across the nation and different tent meetings that are taking place, it is not a true revival. Are the hearts of the people showing up there sincere? Most definitely. But friends, is there an exaltation of not just the gospel, but also God's law, calling men away from the transgression of God's law? We are told this actually as it concerns the final revival. This is how we know that it is a revived Seventh-day Adventist church. This is why when I hear people say the Seventh-day Adventist church, in the end, it will disappear, the whole structure will just go away. Friends, no. God is going to call his people into an organized, revived, purified movement. But I just read this today, and I recommend you read it. You read this book. It's called The Return of the Latter Rain, Volume 1. This is a statement that it quotes from Ellen White. And this statement was made in 1851. speaking of the final revival that comes by the latter rain, she says this: when the refreshing and latter rain shall come from the presence of the Lord and the glory of his power, we shall, listen to this, see the Sabbath more in its importance and glory. This is Ellen White writing to Sister Harriet. You can also find it in Selected Messages, Book 3, page 388. So what are we seeing here? We're seeing that the final, when the final revival comes, it will happen where? Where will it begin and move forward from? From the Seventh-day Adventist Church. That means, friends, and this is why we have to remember that, because how can God bring the final revival where his law has been desecrated? How can the final revival begin in Babylon? It is not so. As I said, are the people sincere? Are these people showing up in the thousands sincerely desiring and searching after God and desiring to be with him? Of course, I have no doubt of that. But friends, we are told that a counterfeit revival will take place. And it's very interesting at these meetings, they have been speaking in tongues. The law has not been emphasized. And even above that, there has not been much preaching of the combination of the law and the gospel. And so calling men to realize that they are sinners, while at the same time bringing them to the remedy of the Savior and helping them to realize that we must come away from the violation of all of God's commandments. We must come away from violating the fourth. Because as we just read, one of the tenets of the final revival will be the Sabbath will be exalted. And so as I say this, I say to us, we may not know if this will be the final counterfeit revival that we're looking at spreading throughout the country. But my prayer, friends, is that we will keep our eyes open and understand where the final revival will happen. With that, let us pray. Father in heaven, I pray that what we covered so far made sense. Father, I say not what I said concerning the Seventh-day Adventist Church, that we may feel like we are superior to everyone else. But indeed, the Spirit of Prophecy has told us that we are superior in our facilities and in our understanding of the truths for this time. In our being, we are not superior. We are not better than anyone as individuals. But Lord, you have raised up a remnant movement. And Lord, in light of the light that you have given to us, help us to be humble and to know who we are. And Lord, that there's a revival coming to this movement. Help us to be ready. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.
Amen, amen. Thank you, Brother Akeem, for this message. And yes, we do know that that false revival, because Kenneth Copeland has already said there will be fire coming down from heaven. There have been many people saying about that fire. So we just got to stay prayed up and get the work done. So brothers and sisters, we want to thank you. And we're going to end with this song by God's grace. Lead us to Calvary, because you know what? We want to have, say, lead us to Calvary, because we want Christ on our heart. We want Christ in leading us and helping strengthen us, because this is going to be a awakening for many. So let me just play this song. God bless Brother Akeem. I mean, Pastor Akeem. We want to give him the official title. He say he may not be that yet, but God is good. Amen. So we're going to play this song, sisters and brothers. Lead us to Calvary. Let me make sure, where is my song? Praise God. I had it. Oh, there it is. God bless you. Good night.